Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry
good
Christmas.
To see good to see you all. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, now at my retirement, my recurring nightmare just came true this evening, and that is I opened the gospel book and I was in the wrong place. So at least there were, in my nightmare, it's usually there's no words on the page and I have to make it up. So at least there were words on the page. So thank God for that. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you about the reading from the first reading from Isaiah, which we heard so beautifully read. You know, unto us a child is, people who lived in darkness have known a great light, and to us a son is born, to us a child is given, and the authority will be on his shoulders, all of that. But first of all, I'd like to tell you about a baby I met last night. So we have a friend of the family who's had a baby, and we went over there last night. We're invited just specially over to spend some time with this baby, and the baby wasn't too sure about me. Seemed to like everybody else in the room well enough. I don't know. Usually, you know, you see me baptize a baby, some of you here. I'm going, I thought I kind of like had a magic touch, but this baby did not like me all that much. But what she did do is she got a hold of my finger, and man, she's got a lot of strength in her hand, because she practically cut off the circulation to my finger. And I'm not telling you that for a random reason. I'm going to read a quote to you for the end from a great Anglican theologian named Austin Farrar, who uses exactly that image and reminds us why it is so important that God has appeared among us as a baby. So we'll think about that. So a couple of weeks ago, I was watching there's a TV show, and in this TV show, the main character is a teacher. This guy from Third Rock from the Sun. Do you remember that TV show? It's the young guy with the kind of long hair. Anyway, he's a teacher, and he's teaching an astronomy class to middle schoolers. And he's teaching them how vast the universe is, just incredibly vast. And he's showing them pictures, you know, all these new pictures that you were getting these days from some place or other that you'll remember, I don't remember, but amazing pictures, and just how huge it is, and not really much and anything other than that, like, you know, what the point of it is, but just as huge. And so we asked the kids at the end, do you have any response to this? And one little boy finally put up his hand, he says, it makes me feel insignificant. And so this main character is talking to this girl he's out on a date with later. And she says, oh man, I love my job. I love this kid so much. He's so intelligent. He's so sensitive. And I don't know if she's looking at this, so I'm kind of looking at him that way, kind of going, so the point of the astronomy lesson was to make this kid feel insignificant, and you are happy about that. But it's kind of like, well, this, if you understand it all properly, you understand the cosmos properly, what you are going to feel is like you're a speck of dust or something. It's kind of what he seemed to be saying. So in our reading, back to the reading from Isaiah, you probably don't think much about the ancient Assyrians. Put up your hand if you think a lot about the ancient Assyrians. But they also were very good at astronomy. In fact, I've read they were so good at astronomy that we still use some of their observations today. And the ancient Assyrians were, as I said, good at astronomy, and they also had their own view of about the universe and of how it was made and what it meant. Theirs was not that it was vast. You know, doing a lot of observation wasn't that it was vast. I'm sure they realized it was vast to some degree. What they believed about the universe was not that it was a cold, empty, vast place, but that at the core of it, it was founded in an act of violence. And that is, the young gods took on their parents, the old gods, great chaos monsters, and they chopped them up and made the universe out of them. So if you were an ancient Assyrian, kind of think, well, if this is the kind of story you believe, right? If this is, how are you going to act? Like, what are you going to think about the world and about how you should act in it? So what we know about them, and the reason I mention them, is because a light has shone in the great darkness. The great darkness they're talking about is the Assyrians have come and decimated northern Israel. If you believe that the world is founded on violence, maybe you think that might be the point. So they believed their gods were violent. They believed gods didn't care about them. But they believed the purpose of their very intelligent people, very learned. Like I said last week, they were kind of like Joseph Stalin, you know, very highly educated, very literate, violent psychopaths, we would say. And so, okay, if that's what you believe about the world, it's understandable that's how you should act. And this reading from Isaiah, out of this time of great darkness, that's what darkness they created, a light will shine, a child will be born. So let's try another story. If those are two stories about the way things are, let's try a third story, as they say, as a thought experiment. So we'll just put aside our prejudices and go, okay, I'm just going to try and think about this as if it were true. So let's try the universe being made this way. There is a loving creator who has imagined us since before the beginning of time. And his one desire for the creation of the universe is to be partnered with us, to commit himself to us, to create us, to commit himself to us, because he simply wants to be with us. He wants to be loved. He wants to be in partnership. And he wants a response which is based in freedom, not specks of dust, not slaves, but people who can respond in freedom. And he created a universe which was beautiful and orderly, and the highest result of it was this beautiful jewel of a planet in which the universe became aware of itself in these people he had imagined. And even when their freedom, they turned away from their awareness of the beauty of the universe, of their own lives, of themselves, even then, he incredibly took on our form, saw with our eyes, felt with our feelings, heard with our ears, in pursuit of us. Because this entire desire for us was not for us to feel meaningless, not for us to feel like slaves, not to feel like we had to chop our way into controlling things. His desire for us is what we should feel and experience our lives as beautiful and as full of dignity. So if you live in that story, how are you going to feel? How are you going to think? How are you going to live your life? Not going to be insignificance, and not going to be as if we just have to chop some meaning out of this place. It's going to be something else. One of the early fathers says, we can tell the truth. So you go, which of these stories is true? And one of the early fathers says, you can tell the truth of the gospel by the beauty of the lives of those who live it. So what kind of story, what kind of life does a story that we believe produce? A story that makes you feel meaningless, a story that makes you feel, you know, crazed, needing to control everything, or you have a story, you believe a story which is which makes our lives full of dignity and beauty and joy. And so we say this story is true, and we know this story is true, the one we're telling tonight, because the beauty that it brings into our lives, to know that we are beloved and we have been chosen for before the beginning of time. Just thinking back to this little incident I was describing to you before, where the baby tried to cut off the blood supply to my finger, Austin Farrar, great Anglican theologian, says this: how can I matter to God? It makes no sense. He has the world, and he doesn't even need that. It's foolishness to think he He could decide to see like I see, feel like I feel, even if we imagined that he had hands. For him, they would have to hold the cosmos. I am just a speck of dust, I would think. Yet Mary holds her finger out, and a divine hand closes on it. He begs for milk, not even knowing what he is hungry for. This is how he, God, brings his love to bear on human pride. His foolishness is greater than our wisdom. He has bound himself to us. We are part and the purpose of everything that he has done. So let's think of it this way. If we are the purpose of everything he's done, how does that affect how we think about ourselves during the course of our daily lives? Is anything we do insignificant? Or is anyone insignificant and without value? So we're not specks of dust, we're not slaves of violent gods, but all authority has been rested upon this child, holding out, as we hold out our hands, we hold out our finger every day, and a divine hand grasps it. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you imagined us before the world began. We thank you, you created us with order, beauty, and dignity. You look on us with love. You pursue us even when we turn away from us. We thank you that you have been born as a child, and you grasp us always with your love. Amen.